Hola! Welcome to Speaking Spanglish with the one and only KB. I am super excited to have you all dive into this show with me. We'll be talking about all the positives and the negatives that come with being a child of immigrants. We're also going to touch on what it's like learning how to navigate between two cultures, and the challenges of finding one's place and identity in this ever-changing world. ¿Están listos? Let's get started. The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California and Penguin Radio. Welcome back to Speaking Spanglish, guys. This is episode 2. What? Already? Yeah, I know. We are back at it with another episode where we will be talking about what it's like to grow up in the United States as a child of immigrants. As I mentioned before, my case is a Mexican child of immigrants. Both my parents were born and raised in Mexico, and I was born here. But we're going to focus in on one specific topic this time, kind of dive into that and how it relates to children of immigrants. This week's topic, or today's episode topic, is race, with kind of the underlying themes of racism and ethnicity and how they all tie in to our overall subject. I do want to start off, though, by reminding everyone to please continue wearing their masks, social distance, and get your vaccine if you have the opportunity to do so, because it is super duper important that we do our part to keep everyone healthy and safe during this pandemic. I am lucky enough to have gotten my second shot recently with minimal side effects, but we are stronger than ever, so let's keep that up. Today's topic, though, I want to start off by defining it. So, race. What is the definition of race? According to Google, it's considered a human categorization. So, a race is a grouping of humans based on shared physical or social qualities into categories generally viewed as distinct by society. So, that could be people with similar skin color, similar hair color, similar rituals, right? Any and all of the above. How do we define ethnicity? What is kind of the difference between the two? Because they're not the same, although many people will confuse them. So an ethnic group or ethnicity is a grouping of people who identify with each other on the basis of shared attributes that distinguish them from other groups, such as common sets of folklore, ancestry, language, history, society, culture, nation, religion, or social treatment within their residing area. So if we break that down, it's more like race is the way people look, while ethnicity is kind of where they come from and all the beliefs that come with that, all the traditions and cultural aspects that come with that. Now, these two are often confused. I am guilty of that myself. I remember taking the tests for like the SATs or the ACTs and having to fill out, or like scholarship applications that asked you what race or what ethnicity are you, and always being confused because there was never an option for Latinx or Hispanic in the race category. It was Asian, Black, there was Pacific Islander, you know, but there was never Hispanic. And so I always was like, well, I guess I just don't answer this one. Wasn't until later on that I realized that I actually fell into the category of white, and kind of blew my mind a little bit. But I'm hoping that that changes soon, because I honestly don't consider myself to be white. Not that there's anything wrong with being white, but I had just not identified that way ever. So how do we define racism, though? This is a topic that is not easy to discuss, I think, but needs to be discussed because it is so dangerous. We've seen what racism can do, not only in the United States, but all over the world. But if we look just at our own history, I mean, the KKK and how they came about, slavery, all of our kind of sad and scary times during the United States are typically related to racism somehow. I mean, the Japanese internment camps, right? The Chinese Exclusion Act, all of these things were racist policies or racist actions that happened within the United States. And there are still today remnants of these policies and actions today. But I'll read you guys the definition just so we can be clear about what it is. So racism is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized. Like I mentioned, it's easy to confuse race and ethnicity. And racism actually applies to both. You can be racist towards someone's race and towards their ethnicity, unfortunately. I think it's also really important that we actually define minority and marginalized as well, just for the sake of clarity for a show. Minority is someone who is not the majority in a place. So we are technically a minority as Mexicans. And anyone who is a person of color is typically a minority. White people will be the majority. And marginalized people are those who are often pushed towards the margins of society, towards the outskirts, right? Those are people who are of different races, religions, differently abled. These are important to define just for the sake of the show today. But yeah, let's keep moving forward. I think it's extremely important to address what has been happening in the United States, well, overall in the world, obviously, but what has been happening in the United States, particularly within the last, I want to say, 6 years, but honestly, it's been accurate historically. There has been a huge, huge influx over the last 6 years of racism towards minorities and marginalized people because of the administration that kind of opened a door. Not kind of. They did. They opened a door to allow mistreatment of others, people of color, of marginalized, of the indigenous community. They opened this door to make it okay and allow for comments that were blatantly racist to be said, you know, walking down the street or anything like that. It was, unfortunately, the administration, the president, who pushed this rhetoric and sort of continue to do so even out of office, and I am sad to see that it has continued after their administration, especially with communities like the Asian community, which also ties in partly to the coronavirus and people blaming the Chinese for this virus when they have no proof of where it actually came from. I mean, yes, it originally was in Wuhan, but why does that give anyone the right to hit a person who is of Chinese descent in San Francisco walking down the street? Like, that's not okay, and that is blatantly racist. And we have to address situations like this. In just the past month, there was a shooting in which women of color who were all Asian were killed. And the media passed it off as, the media and the police passed it off as something where the shooter was having a terrible day. When in reality, he went in there knowing he was aiming for these Asian women. And my heart goes out to their families. But that's why we're here. That's why we're talking about this stuff. That's why we stand up against these injustices. I mean, with the Stop Asian Hate hashtag on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, as well as the Black Lives Matter movement, that has been continuously growing. Just in the last year, we saw huge protests all over the country and even all over the world because of the killing of George Floyd in Ferguson. And continuously we've seen more and more Black people, particularly Black men and young men, being shot or killed by the police because they are wrongfully identified or because they pull something out of their pocket that the cop assumed to be a knife or a weapon of some sort, when that does not happen for white people. And this, as I mentioned earlier, this is why we're here. We are fighting against these prejudices that continue in our society, unfortunately. I was lucky enough for today's show to get to talk to one of my very best friends from home. She is an ethnic studies major at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. She was home for a while. Unfortunately, because of some technical difficulties, we weren't able to do like a real interview with each other, but I did get to record some of her answers to a few questions that I have, so you'll be hearing her voice throughout the show as well. Now, we know that racism exists, and sometimes it's not so blatantly obvious. Sometimes it's not right there written on, you know, a wall on the street you live on, or you don't get a racist text sent to you. Sometimes we get these things called microaggressions, which I'll actually let Yahaira define for us in just a second here. But I want to make it known that while we are maybe not affected so much by the obvious racial slur or the swastika written on something, there are small aggressions even that can hit you down to the core. And Yahaira will go ahead and define those right now for us. What is a microaggression? And have you ever experienced one? If you have, please go ahead and describe the situation.
Racism that's kind of common in everyday life. I think an example would be just saying that your English sounds very good to somebody that wasn't born in the United States, or trying to touch a person of African descent's hair would be a microaggression. And a microaggression that I personally experienced was most likely in the classroom at my predominantly white institution, which was being mistaken for another Latinx woman in class, even though we didn't look alike. And it's just subtle things like that that make you feel uncomfortable and unwanted.
So something that kind of hits closer to home are the racism that happens blatantly overall in the United States is obviously a big issue, but a subset of racism, something called colorism, often happens between one's own race. So this is something that hits pretty close to home in terms of being a Latinx Mexican child of immigrants. This is something that comes up quite often. So would you say that this happens in marginalized and minority communities as well as just out in the general world?
I would say that there are prejudices, but marginalized communities can't or don't hold the power to be racist. But there are a lot of prejudices in, I've seen the Latinx community, like anti-blackness, anti-indigenous remarks, and anti-Asian sentiments as well. Some examples of this would be just colorism and the way that many people would rather have a light-skinned baby or light-skinned children rather than those with darker skin tones or just different indigenous features.
Colorism is defined as prejudice or discrimination against individuals with a dark skin tone, typically among people of the same ethnic or racial group.
I think it comes from a desire to be white, which stems from like colonialism, because there's a privilege that comes with whiteness in any form that it is. And until we like dismantle colonialism and colonial structures, including capitalism, I think it'll still be something that keeps on happening.
Through learning about race, racism, and ethnicity, and how it ties to what we're talking about in terms of immigrant children or children of immigrants, I've learned that I have benefited very much from being lighter skinned. I won't ever have to worry about whether I'm going to get pulled over because someone might think I'm undocumented from seeing me from afar, right? Or ever have to worry about my skin color being a factor in getting a job or applying for a loan or anything that has to do with my professional life. I won't ever have to worry about that. And so I've kind of started to take note of this and realize how I could use this benefit and this privilege to help others that may not have it. I've also started to do research on my own biases that I have, understanding how I develop them, why it is that they exist, and how to go about getting rid of them so that I'm not part of this problem going on in the world. So I'm actually doing my part to make things better for everybody. I want to understand why society sees skin color as such a huge factor in character judgment. I think that's always been something that's bothered me. And to still today, I don't understand how it is that that still exists, but it does. And that is why we're here. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we are on this platform communicating to each other about how to be better. So how does race, racism, and ethnicity affect my own life at home? Well, when I got to college, there was this new culture shock that I experienced when I arrived. I grew up in a town that was pretty homogenous, and that meant there was about 50% white, 50% Hispanic, Latino, with a few other races mixed in there. But getting to college meant I got to see a lot more people who were Filipino, who were Pacific Islander, people who were African, and other people who were Black, who were Haitian, who were Chinese, Vietnamese, all these other different cultures that I had never really interacted with at home. Yahira actually has a little comment on this as well, seeing as she went to college also. Her experience is a little different though.
What was your experience with culture shock at Cal Poly when you first arrived there?
Like I've mentioned before, Cal Poly is a predominantly white institution. And it felt kind of similar to my hometown in Fort Bragg, because it's majority white, but there is a strong Latinx community. At Cal Poly, the Latinx community makes up maybe 13%, and it's overwhelmingly white. It was very isolating, and I suffered like a lot of imposter syndrome going to Cal Poly. And just trying to find my community was very difficult.
I also wanted to talk about something that has been really interesting just recently in my life and having to do with race. My sister is actually dating someone who's Black, and that is something that's very taboo in the Hispanic culture. You don't really date outside the culture. It's pretty much expected of you to find a Latino who will, you know, keep the culture within the family. It'll keep it going. My older sister actually broke that mold and decided that she was not going to date a Latino. Instead, she is dating a Black Haitian man. He is awesome. He comes and visits us with her and will do the most here at home. He's so great. But it was something interesting to see the way my grandma interacted with him, because she wasn't ever blatantly racist, and I don't even know if there was any microaggressions that I really noticed because I wasn't the one experiencing it, but it was different. It was a different experience for her, and I'm sure very different for him. Now, she knows him, she has gotten to know him, we all get along super, super well. And like I said, she never did not get along with him, but it was weird for her. Another thing that has to do with my grandma that I wanted to add in here is that I had actually never thought about the fact that she never learned about slavery. and honestly, neither did my parents, but she has no recollection at all of, you know, history of the Americas or history of the United States, where slavery was such a big topic and issue that has actually, you know, that's where these issues of race stem from. She has no idea. So getting to teach her about this stuff through our work with the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, protesting, through, you know, just making change as small as it is here at home, we've taught her about why it is that we're fighting, why it is that there has been such a huge push for more equity and equality in this country for Black people. And she's amazed. She's like, what? They held people as slaves? Like, no idea. And I can't blame her for that. She had no prior education before, you know, besides learning to read and write. So there was no really any history there. Today, we are slowly but surely getting past that and having her understand her own biases as well. So I think that's really amazing. But where do we go from here? How do we go about continuing to work to be anti-racist, anti-colorist? Well, we can support groups fighting for equity. We can also change the way we look at social media and what we are perceiving on there, following groups that push for more equity and support these movements. We can talk about this stuff at home the same way I'm doing it. We don't push this aside anymore. We become actively anti-racist, listening to one another and not closing ourselves off, because I think that is one of the biggest factors in why people can't get along today, just in general, is that we're so stuck in our own ideas and our own biases that we can't move past that in order to see life from someone else's perspective. But that's what we have to do. Anyways, guys, thanks for listening to episode 2. Remember to be actively anti-racist and tune in again next week for another episode of Speaking Spanglish. Thanks, guys. Bye.